Just one sec. Okay. Technical difficulty to start the day. Okay. Okay. So we'll start off with our tortoise breathing as I fix my computer that just about fell over. So with a tortoise breathing, just do your best to be as aware of your nerves and muscles inside your abdomen. We're just trying to work out, kind of like weightlifting, a pathway. So we'll just again start with that tortoise breathing. And I'm going to come back into what we're training with our bodies a bit, but might as well just start off with a little bit of how you feel it inside your body. So nice deep inhale. And we're just going to feel a little bit of contraction towards the belly button, and then the front corners, and then the sides, and then the back corners, and then the back, and then exhale, reversing that. Excuse me. And when we first started doing all of this, such a long time ago, we really wanted to focus on that feeling of the egg. So when you're doing the tortoise breathing, you want to feel at first as if you're feeling the egg out to the sides. And then as that becomes really familiar, then feeling the egg up and down. So just play with that a little bit. And also just want to remind everyone that we're doing the cold showers mostly on our face. And we're going to try and stand really still. And if you can, and this is new, try and do the breath we were doing with the bracing and releasing. So as you get ready to go into the cold shower or turn the shower down, do the breath where you're breathing in and holding and then feeling the body's contraction and then releasing all that contraction. Because when you can reverse a whole bunch of instinctual habits in your nervous system like that, you're actually doing some really powerful work. So, also, while we're playing with the tortoise breathing, and hopefully filling the abdomen as much as we can, also want to just get a good sense of your spine. Because as we start getting more into those contractions, the spine may want to get more rigid because we're contracting. Or we might focus so much that our spine starts to crunch down or something like that. So just keep going with a very loose but attentive spine as you're doing the deep breathing. So we're going to go into the contractions a little bit more. And this may be strange, but there's two ways to really reinforce that. One would be lying on your back with a pillow on your abdomen. So you really have to play with the idea of contracting and resistance. Another good idea is if you were to do a plank. It's kind of like where you kind of lay down and then do a half push-up and just rest on your elbows or your palms. And again, that compression around your core can just make the muscles a little bit easier to feel. Okay, so this is going to get meticulous. don't worry about your breathing right now. Just take a moment, find a good posture, feel relaxed, check in with your day, and see if you can make the distinction between contracting the part of your perineal floor that has to do with your urethra, or what you would do if you were to contract when you're finished peeing. So, morning. find that little bit of a muscle. And then for men, there's another muscle just a little bit farther back. And for women, it would be just inside the vaginal canal where we can, you know, squeeze certain muscles that have to do with sexual intercourse. And then a little farther back is the muscles that contract your anus. So what we're actually hoping to do is eventually create a little wave of contractions going from the front to the middle to the back, and then something that helps you articulate your sacrum really deep at the bottom of your spine. So Let's just play with those contractions and we'll bring in the breath in a moment. So just we want to contract as far to the front as we feel, somewhere in the middle, around the anus, and then a way that feels like you can maybe articulate your tailbone. And then relax all of those. And then contract them all kind of in a wave, front, middle, back, wag your tail. Release your tail, anus, mid-perineal floor, and then urethra. So a bit anatomical, but there's this really amazing thing that we're working on that I'm sort of sneaking up on here. And if we can work on the contractions properly, we can work on the solar plexus and the breath properly. Eventually, we're going to start changing the circulation of cerebrospinal fluid throughout the whole spine of your brain, which is a big part of Taoist alchemy. It's based on a lot of, you know, thousands of years of people doing this. It's been confirmed by the craniosacral system in the last about 75 years. So it's for reals. You can actually change the chemistry of your brain in a very powerful way in the long term for health and longevity. And as we get better at this, depending on, I guess, where you want to take this, you can also get far enough into the breath work and these contractions that you can force the cerebrospinal fluid to move in such a way that you can activate a structure in your pineal gland that we're going to come back to maybe in about 10 days. So just wanting to make sure we're all kind of on board with what the hell we're doing. So keep playing with your tortoise breathing. Just go back to that and see if you can feel those contractions a bit more. So we'll inhale, contracting the front to the front, and then the front and middle to the sides, and then the front, middle, and back to the back, and then releasing the back and the anus, releasing the sides and the middle, releasing the front and then the urethra. So eventually it's just going to become like a blooming flower that kind of wakes up and then goes dormant again. So as we're playing with that, a question I would ask you to ask yourself, and this may take some time, is to play with the experience of what you might consider the yang aspect of your back and your spine, what we might call the warrior in the sense of embodiment and posture, and ask yourself, yep, that's what we're doing, Dove, is we're activating some very specific chemistry that Chinese medicine affirmed with some of those meridians. So when we're experiencing the yang aspect of the spine, here's a question, and it's actually a really potent thing to explore. In your personal experience with your personal spine, what is too yang? And what is not very young for you? And really try and find that sense of too young, especially when it gets down to your tailbone, because as you can imagine, if you got really perky and excited all of a sudden like a puppy, and your spine would get really long and you'd be looking around, your tail might be sticking right up and out because you're highly activated. And that's a really great place to be if you're maybe being an antenna for a moment. But it's also this close to being in a fright state. So a really good idea to just go with what's, you know, somewhere in the middle where you're not overexpressing it. And the opposite would also be true, because if you're in a very young, very active state, but you're also really nervous, then instead of your tail going up, your tail would want to tuck around underneath. exaggerating another aspect of fear or cowering. So we're trying to find a way in the sense of yang to open the spine, but not too yang and not too weak, I guess. So that's one exploration of your spine, because we want to have a very dynamic and awake spine for where we're going. And the same question in the other direction is, what would your spine be like if it was too yin or too flaccid? right? So when we're doing the more healer connecting lateral sense of our spine, we want things to be able to wiggle and dance, to gyrate, to be intuitive, to be expressive. But at the same time, what would too yin feel like? You know, if you were too porous or maybe too hooked into other people's experience and not enough really in relationship to your own. So those are just investigations you can play with. But we want to make sure that we're really clear about learning those contractions, rehearsing them, practicing them, so that like resistance training, you can really feel the muscles and nerves getting stronger. So here's a very quick little bit of brain candy, because we want to move into something a lot more thorough quickly. We're basically focusing on changing our central nervous system and the way our gut intuition and kind of stress responses regulate themselves. By doing all of the stuff we've been doing, we're actually changing the way our nervous system and our solar plexus activate the body. So you're actually learning to change your parasympathetic drive, especially as you get into these contractions and mobilizing your sacrum in that way. And that's going to actually change the way you age and the way you sleep. And it's actually going to heal your brain, which in Chinese medicine, we call the Sea of Jing, or as long as you're going to be here. So the more we can play with that, the more vitality and longevity we'll create. We've also spent a few weeks really trying to get aware of our somatic self. And that is about 60% of how you actually feel and communicate with people in the world. So that's also really powerful. This week, we're focusing on the face, the ego mirror. So take a moment and sit with that idea of your behavior, your expression, your personality is a mirror of the people around you. So as the old ones would say, you know, if you are going to be a mirror, be a patient one, a curious one, and a kind one, especially to yourself. Because now we're going to get into something that's very old. It's actually an indigenous practice. And focus on the breath that you choose today. But right now, what I want to do is actually walk you into something that's like a guided experience. And then I'm going to leave you with some things to play with that. So there's really no other way to bring this up except to play it out, I guess, in a modern sense. So imagine that your family calls you and they say, oh, by the way, we just needed to tell you that when you were born with a twin, brother or sister. And there's a story as to why no one told you, blah, blah. And you're going to meet your twin at the coffee shop in 10 minutes. And so you go to the coffee shop and you're just about to go in the door, but you've also been warned by your family that this twin of yours has had a very hard life compared to yours. And they may look and behave and see the world in a much more challenging way than you see yourself. So just take a moment and get ready to open the door and to meet a mirror of yourself that maybe took their life a lot harder and more personally and really overdid it. So open the door, you walk in and there's you and hello. And when you sit down and decide to interact with this person, the easiest way to participate in this practice is to imagine yourself as you would be and feel and look and behave as if 10 years ago you made every decision that you knew would have taken your life into the hardest place you can imagine. And if that was the way you chose to be in relationship, the way you chose to be with food, substance abuse, exercise or not, Your twin could be, medically a lot sicker than you, or they could be medically somewhat healthier than you, but super neurotic about it. So the exercise is to pick an exaggeration of you that you would naturally judge yourself as being negative for 10 years. And now you're sitting across the table with this person, and you have a lot of choices. And if you're wondering why I'm bringing this up, this is a big part of somatic awareness, is how you react to people on a visceral level. Excuse me, but also how you embody things like shame, and kind of how we compete and how we compare ourselves to people. And this exercise, more than anything I've learned, is precisely very powerful for people working with addiction and trying to have a better relationship with sobriety. So sit with your belly, sit with your breath, your tortoise breathing, any other breathing you would choose. And your real opportunity here is to find out who you became when you went down that fork in the road, and what it's like to be that person. And in the more indigenous sense, take a moment and ask yourself what it would be like to have this person walk beside you for the next, say, year or two. And they're going to learn from you, basically, as they walk beside you, on how to heal their life. Based on how much water you drink in the morning, hint, hint. how you exercise, how you rest, how you participate around addictive behavior, the way you express judgment and communicate things like compassion. Because when you're walking around with your hard times twin, you can either be embarrassed and try and think of excuses or make up explanations that make it okay, which, that's fine. But you're also going to be the person who is going to walk slightly ahead of that hard times twin and care for them and carry them through difficulty, and also give yourself a sense of encouragement to keep showing up in the direction that is the difference between you and the version of you that didn't make the same kind of discernments that you have. Because this practice is all about just migrating your discernment, and your behavior and your compassion and your patience and your wisdom. So that was a lot of me talking, in the sense of usually trying to get into practices and things. But this practice actually sets us up for being, in a way, very authentic in how we actually do see ourselves in the world, and how we do or do not judge other people, and how impatient or anxious we are around what people think of us. Because those are the biggest driving forces in how we behave, around addiction, and also how we actually feel in our guts around shame, and comparison. So, for the rest of the day, if not for the rest of your life, recognize that on some subtle energetic level, your hard times twin is always beside you, trying to learn how to be you in the world. And obviously, that's a relative thing. So, a bit of a philosophical way to start a Wednesday. Give yourself time to keep playing with those contractions, because we do, if we want to really progress where this can go, we really do want to wake up those nerves and muscles and get really articulate with our sacrum and our tail, and our tortoise breathing. Because there is a chance, if you choose to, that by the end of this, you could have a very, very potent, and safe and practical breathwork practice that could really, really change your life. So, thanks for hanging out. And hopefully, I'll see you tomorrow morning when we get to work with another interesting Indigenous journey practice. So, hope to see you all in the morning. And I'll check in with any comments or questions a bit later. And keep going deeper into your breath work, because that's a big step. And I hope by now you have found either a really specific time for meditation in your day, or you're finding little spots throughout your day just to make sure you're checking in. So blessings, and see you tomorrow morning.